Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. This is Dave Schmidt, and I'm your host here on the Sedona Connection. And if you noticed, I introduced it a little differently. Good morning, because for me, what I normally say on each of these programs, I say it's 6 p.m. on the West Coast, it's 9 p.m. on the East Coast, and that's always referring to the United States, which is where the vast majority of the listeners come from. But wherever you may be around this world, and today, I'm in one of those around-the-world locations. Yes, I'm in Thailand. And right now, for you, it's, as I said, it's 6 p.m. on Wednesday evening on the West Coast. But for me, it's 8 a.m. on Thursday morning here in Thailand. And don't ask me what city I'm in. I am going to keep that quiet today, but I am here. But, you know, you saw my video, so I did disclose that location. That's okay. And if you've seen some of my Facebook posts, that's okay. But, you know, there are some times I just need to be a little bit discreet. But what an interesting trip. I do want to say that I have been introducing you to Jason Hill, who is I guess my cohort, maybe if that's a term that we might be able to use. He's kind of the one that's kind of, you know, I'm learning so much from this fine gentleman and being with him, and it's such a pleasure to be with him. Now, in a little couple of minutes, I'm going to get to my guest here today, Dr. Kohler, but obviously I need to do a few introductory issues. First of all, folks, you need to know on this program, we talk about financial issues. We are not legal financial people, so anything that we have to say is for educational purposes only. It is not to be taken as final legal advice. If you have issues, if you have questions around what to do for yourself, you need to seek your own professional financial advice, whether that be tax accountants, tax attorneys, CPAs, or financial wealth advisors, or whoever they may be. What we state here is our opinions only, and it is for educational purposes. And along with that, if you have seen the video that I put out in the newsletter this week, I was on this wonderful location in southern Thailand, and you know, and I absolutely loved the place, a magical place. I talked about some of the physical descriptions of the island, of some of the things that they understand there. Yet Jason has informed me that in the southern part of that island, underneath the ground, in the ground, they say are the largest gold reserves in the world. Now, a lot of people say it's South Africa, but the people here that are in the know saying, no, it's here. We just don't broadcast that because it's never been physically mined, but yet they know that it is there. But I do want to take this opportunity. Jason is not the focus of the program today, but he is sitting here right beside me, and I would like just to introduce him to you. And Jason, just take a minute or two just to introduce yourself, because these people saying, who is this guy, Jason Hill, that you've been hanging out with in Thailand?
Well, good morning, everybody. I'd just like to say a warm welcome to everybody that's listening. I'll keep it short. I'm here just to listen and to direct anything that needs to be directed, so nice to hear everybody.
Yeah, for now, you hear that wonderful accent there. He's a Kiwi, folks. I won't say anything more than that, but that's just enough. But myself and another gentleman, as we're getting to know him, we kind of tease him a little bit, but just all of us Americanos that he's hanging out with. So, but it's sure a pleasure becoming acquainted with him. So thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
But he's here predominantly just to be listening today, so he's not the focus. But with that now, I need to go to my absolutely wonderful assistant. Blanca, how are you doing? I should say this evening, because it is evening for you.
It definitely is evening, and I forgot it was 8 a.m. over there for you. Well, good morning. I didn't tell you good morning.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's amazing what technology does for us, because we can be halfway around the world.
Yes.
And I said, all I need is my laptop computer and an internet, decent internet connection, and I can do this from anywhere. So, and here I am in
Thailand.
That's
amazing.
Today, so, yeah.
You don't even skip
a
beat,
yeah.
And you can do your show and keep people posted. And so I just want to thank Dr. Kohler and Jason for joining us on the show, and for the listeners as well. I think we're in for a treat today.
Yes. Well, folks, if you had seen my introductory video that I always do with the weekly newsletter, this guest that we have on here is quite a phenomenal individual. He likes to consider himself just an everyday person. But I think he's like a lot of us. we kind of step into these positions. We don't go looking for them. They seem to find us. And in a job that we have to do, and you have heard me say many, many times, it says, it's a passion for me to do what I am doing. I love what I am doing. And it's a passion for me to help do what I do in my role the best that I can and what comes before me to help us as humanity to be set free from these 1,000+ years of financial slavery that we have been imposed upon us. It's easy to say that world history has been filled where there's these kings, monarchs, and dictators have dominated the scene over the mass of humanity and kept the mass of humanity in forms of financial slavery. And we are now entering into an era, into a time of history that it's time for a shift, it's time for a change. And what we're beginning to see are that these are these massive, massive amounts of reserves of different types of financial resources that have been kept hidden from us for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And a lot of it is, it focuses around these gold and this gold. And you've heard me talk about different sources of different people who have basically, who are keepers or custodians of these resources. Well, we have the distinct pleasure of having one of those individuals who is a custodian per se, if I can use that term, of those resources. And that's Dr. Alan Kohler. And you heard me talk about the Rodriguez Trust. And for those of you who also listen to the Landa Global China weekly programs, he has been on their program a couple times. So this is not the first time that he is coming out, but he has basically said that it's time. It's time for him to allow the truth to be out, because there's been a lot of misinformation, a lot of lies, a lot of innuendos that are out there. And he's here today to tell us the story. So, Dr. Kohler, welcome to the program here with us here on the Sedona Connection, and we are quite honored to have you with us, sir. And so why don't you go ahead and take a couple minutes to introduce yourself, and then we'll go from there. How's that? Where did he go? Oh, you know what? I had put him on hold. Oh, I'm sorry. There we go. You're now live. You're here, Dr. Kohler.
Okay. Thanks.
Now you're
thanks
live. Okay,
inviting.
Now we can hear you.
I read your introduction. Most of it is true. I was very impressed, so I sent a copy to my girlfriend, and maybe she'll be impressed. one of the things I don't do is give out volumes, locations, and travel plans. So I'm not going to tell you where all the gold is. I don't know where all of the gold is, and I'm not that much interested in that. I can tell you most of the stuff that's done in the Philippines and the transactions are a waste of time, and most of the gold is fake. The reason when I went out, that I went on the program last week was to tell everybody what the truth is, which is Matthew 10:26, which is that which is whispered shall be shouted. And to let them know that there's two types of assets in the Philippines. And I got very upset with what people were floating around the internet and talking about. The two types of assets in the Philippines are privately owned assets that are on private land. These assets have been offered for sale all over the world, and people are saying, I'm the owner, I've had these for 3 months, and I'm entitled to X amount of dollars. That ain't never going to happen, double negative purposely put in. There are people that are trying to sell bunkers, which are privately owned assets on private land. And there's, I believe, four factories that have been producing boxes and assets for the last 20 years that I know about, so that there's a lot of assets that are around that are fake. So the assets in the Philippines are either privately owned or fake. And there have been people that have been going to the Philippines to buy $25 billion boxes for $2,000. And when the exchange takes place, both sides turn around with a smile and I have one. I know one person that sold the same box twice to two different people in the same day for $1,000 more than she paid for it, and both sides were both happy. the people that are in charge all the way up on the top, they know where every single serial number should be and who should be holding that serial number. The magic word is holding. If you're a holder, you're not an owner. I'm not the owner. I'm in the position, and my position is to bring assets back to the estate. I'm not the one doling out the money. I do have certain powers with my position, some of which I use at certain times. The truth usually works out. The estate has been around since 1891. Queen Isabella II, back in 1520, whenever that is, sent out explorers. We know the one explorer that came to America in 1492, so somewhere around that time, they were doling out money to explore the planet. And Figueroa, Magellan, Legazpi, the Spanish explorers found parts of the Philippines, and it was custom in that time to give the explorer land that they found or part of it or whatever. There were problems in Spain. The details are relatively unimportant. There's a thing known as a royal decree. There were a couple of them made in 1800. The most famous is the Royal Decree 1891, which was given to Hermogenes Rodriguez, who started the Rodriguez estate, or the Rodriguez. It was he and his brother, and he became the first governor of the Philippines in the Treaty of Paris, 1898. The United States bought the Philippines, and Section 8 of the Treaty of Paris says that private land shall remain private, unprescriptible by the government. The Spanish land grant was transferred to a title of the Philippines somewhere around 1905, and it's on that is 01-4. It says United States of America, and on the title is Hermogenes R. Rodriguez, and he signed the title. He owned the land, and he and his brother developed the land from very primitive. He got the title that came from King Philip, King Alfonso. King Philip was there, but King Alfonso the 12th gave the 1891 royal decree. There are specific legal documents that document that everything is there. There were multiple tribunals on the land title that document the tribunals, and everything was given to Hermogenes Rodriguez. He then developed the land for sugarcane and many other agricultural products, and they made a lot of money off of the development, and sent some back to Spain because Spain was having problems. But they had 120 years to invest this property. Over the last 100 years, many people tried to claim title through the courts, and since the courts and knew who the owner was, those people who changed their names wasted their time in court. Surprisingly enough, I found one of the cases, the actual transcript of a 1973 trial off of somebody else's computer in another city. And at the end of the trial, because I knew about the trial, the judge says, you guys are all full of baloney. I don't believe all of you. Get out of here. So the courts are fully aware. I believe the governments are aware of who owns the land for that part, and all of the keepers are aware of where the stuff has to go. I've had people come to me and tell me that Joe Schmo gave them power of attorney over accounts that are supposedly worth a lot of money. The accounts may be real, but Joe Schmo has no authority to give out power of attorney to anybody, and I'm sure he got a couple free dinners or whatever he got. One of the main reasons for me to get on this program and expose my position is fiduciary responsibility, trying to protect assets that are privately owned. And the private ownership is backed up by land titles, Supreme Court decisions, international treaties that are recognized worldwide. The laws back them up worldwide, and they are known by the IMF, World Bank, and the major banks of the world. So if you haven't been doing this for the last 50 years, you're probably not going to be the one in charge. What David had mentioned in the intro is that my wife was Filipino, and she introduced me to her relatives who were very connected to the estate and to the commodities that are in the Philippines. So most of the people in charge over have known me since 1970, and I was over there and lived over there for many years, and I've gone over many times. And most of the people I deal with are my cousins. And many of the bunker holders know that they have to surrender them back to the Rodriguez estate and to me. Royalty in the area knows that it has to come back to the estate. The Philippines and the people in the Philippines and the royalty in Asia are all connected with the royalty and the people in charge in China. My position is to bring in assets back through the estate to get humanitarian money. That is the only thing that I'm doing. I do not pass out money. I do not tell people how much money goes to which person or which documents are worth how much. I don't decide what it is. There are other people that do that. I'm on the program today to explain to you the truth, and that the main reason for turning in these assets is to try and get money for humanitarian purposes and not to make anybody rich. I believe there's another group of people whose responsibility it is to make sure that there's money that's spent is actually spent for humanitarian purposes. And those that go in to try to get assets out of the Philippines, there are laws to protect the assets. You have to prove that you have the proper ownership and proper authority to move any commodity in the Philippines. We are perfectly legal in the Philippines. I have a Philippine corporation, and we pay our taxes every year and file the proper documents. We are aware of people trying to steal stuff out of the bunkers. All of the submissions that go out anywhere that get submitted at any time are registered. And if you're not the real owner, that's international wire fraud. It's a racketeering statute, and that carries with it 5 years in jail and a $5 million fine. I did talk to somebody in a high position yesterday that mentioned 35 years in jail. So there are laws. If you think that you're going to go steal something out of the Philippines and think that it's real, the odds are very small. I've been there since 1990s, and there's people all the time trying to do gold deals, which don't happen, and trying to do bond deals and pay for fake boxes. And I went there to try to build a hospital in my wife's hometown, and this is where I ended up. And I did meet all of her relatives who were, I didn't realize what they were doing at the time. But I had connections worldwide, so I helped them out. But that, we recently have come across people that are actually stealing bonds on the tabletop meeting. They're stealing bonds at a gunpoint. They'll meet in a hotel room, and they will pull out a gun and say, leave your bonds on the table and you get out of here. There are people that say that they represent sovereign countries and the sovereigns are going to buy it. Ask them for IDs and paperwork, which they will not have. We've had many that have been fake. And the other reason I'm on is to prove that I'm still alive and that I still have my position. People will say anything or do anything to get these assets. They will tell you Dr. Kohler's dead, he lost his position. You should give all of your assets to me, and I'll get them taken care of for you, and I'll be happy to pay you pennies on the dollar of what they're probably worth. I am told by people in the redemption process, if there is a redemption process, that the bonds cannot be sold. They can only be redeemed, is what I've been told. I've also been told that no one's been paid, but I know some people that have sold their bonds. Everything is registered, and most of this stuff may probably be stolen. The law says that stolen assets cannot be legally sold, or a contract that deals with stolen property is not legal, so you can't enter into a contract with the asset that you have. Anybody that says that they're an intake officer for some sovereign entity is not. Ask to see their paperwork from which entity they're coming from. The people on the radio show that I've been on have seen copies of my document. They have come to where I am, and I've met them. I've showed them copies of my documents. My documents are registered with the proper people that have to register them. I'm not supposed to be out giving out my name. I have authorized people to give out my position, but not my name. I did go public 3 weeks ago, mainly to try to explain to people that if you bought a fake box, you're not going to get $25 billion. Forget it. It ain't going to happen. I actually got a phone call. Somebody told me that he's had this bond for 3 years and he's entitled to so many billions of dollars. I said, fine. Talk to the people that gave you my phone number and go through them and don't bother me anymore. There are a lot of people that are trying to tell you that they're in charge of whatever it is. We have people that come through us that I present back through the upline people that I've met personally and banking people that I've met personally and presented my documents. And some of the people during the process, I've been told that the documents you should be signing are a trade secrets agreement, which is United States law, which is the 1979 Trade Secrets Act, the 1996 Economic Espionage Act, and House Bill 1831 to 1839, and all the other intellectual property rights. The laws are different than many of the other countries, but since you're getting paid in PRNs or expect to get paid in PRNs, it's United States law, which will apply, especially if you're a United States citizen. If you get paid, if your asset is accepted, if there's a redemption process, then you're very highly privileged. The money is there for humanitarian purposes to help out humanitarian. We've had some people that have told us they don't care about humanitarian, they want the money for themselves. And I tell them, well, then you have to use it for alcohol and women only.
Can I say something there?
Yes. Sure.
I want to tease you with that statement. I know you said that to me, that, you know, if it's not used for humanitarian issues, it has to be used for alcohol and women. So what about the women? Should we say it has to be used for beer and men? Can we say that?
there was a small transaction that was done in the Philippines. The guy that had the asset spent it all on assets, on alcohol and women, and he died in 3 days.
That taught him a lesson, didn't it? I should say. Well, I don't know how to say that. But I'm sorry. But, you know, said that. And
what a way to go.
Oh, what a hilarious statement. But go ahead. I interrupted you. Go ahead. Keep going. You're doing a great job.
Every penny will be monitored. The people that are in charge know exactly where every bond is, who should have the bond. And my question years ago was, how can a flipper come and go to one of my cousins or to one of the people that are in charge in China and tell them, I own this? They know exactly who should have them, who it was sent out to. You're most likely not going to fool anybody for that. So, ask yourself, why is somebody going to give me some outrageous amount of money for me to go and buy a home and a car and an airplane and a boat or whatever the stuff is? The money is for humanitarian purpose. If you have individual bonds, read what it says on the bond. The percentages of what is given out is written on the bond. And if you look at the bonds, it starts out 75 to 80% of the money goes for hospital, schools, roads, agriculture, the IMF, the World Bank gets money, the government gets money, the Treasury gets money, the CIA gets money, the Pentagon gets money, the bankers get money. It's all spelled out in the bond. If some guy thinks there's God's gift, the negotiation, and they can pick up an extra 10 points or whatever it is, it ain't going to happen. What you want to do is get paid whatever it is you're going to get paid. The percentages that go to the people negotiating the deal are single digits. That's what's in the bond. They split it between whatever decides that they are or however it's negotiated. But unless the deal is done 100% legally, most likely won't happen. I talked to one of the people high up regarding some of the stuff that I had, and he told me that he's got a million submissions, and mine is the only one that was done properly. We turned in, if you look at the KYC that you're turning in, it says owners only, attorneys in fact, mandates, power of attorneys are not accepted. And it most likely is not going to happen if you're not a real owner. But if you come through a real owner or an accepted owner, then they'll accept it. The estate is recognized as one of the owners because of their position in the Philippines. And with our documents, we can clear what's going on. And I can't tell you what goes on after that. I'm not in charge of that. Other people have been put in charge to do whatever it is they're in charge to do. Governments have to do certain things under the World Government Paris Climate Change Accord. And I have nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with paying out people what it's supposed to do unless they're bringing something back to the estate. And what we do is we have, like I said, we have them assign the trade secrets agreement and we have an assignment to the trust. And then there's another document through that. I send it through to the upline people that I've been referred to and that I've met. This is the way it's supposed to go. And there are people higher than I am in a different position than I am that are responsible for whatever it is that they're responsible for. I'm told that I'm being set up for anything not happening. That's not my position. I'm not the one that gives out the money. I'm not the one that owns all the money. My position is to deal with the assets from the Rodriguez estate. A lot of the stuff from the Philippines has been stolen and coming out, or a lot of the stuff from people who have no control have given out power of attorney over certain accounts. Those accounts aren't going to be transferred to somebody who says that they have a power of attorney. It's just not going to happen. People have been trying for 30 years. And some of the people actually got the names on the accounts, but didn't get any money out of it. And they didn't care because they asked for money up front to go to wherever it is that they were going. This is the history that I've seen in the Philippines. I've seen the proper documents. Most of the people on this call, I would suspect, are aware of World War II. That actually happened. It was in all the papers. Some of the movies depict some of the actual events. One of the laws is, I think it's an 1815 international law regarding war salvage. The salvage rights are sitting with the estate. And I've had the authority over salvage rights since 2004. That's about 12 years. And according to that law, I actually come before the United States because it's their property, supposedly, because it says property of the United States on there. And those laws usually are enforced. If they're not enforced, there are people that will make sure that the money is spent properly or it'll disappear. So that's the main point that I want, one of the main points I want to bring out. The other is that if you think you can go to the Philippines and steal stuff out of a bunker, you'll be treated appropriately and it won't be to give you a lot of money. Because you've already filled out a KYC, we know exactly what you stole, and we know where it came from. And the people that are higher than I am know exactly who the people are that are stealing commodities, who the people are that are impersonating me or other positions, and they will be dealt with appropriately, and the assets will be taken care of according to law, which usually means it goes back to where it's supposed to go back to, and the people lose it. We're aware of some deals that have been stolen. I don't want to be mentioning people's names on radio. We've told them what the law is, and we've given them the choice, and they've told by other people that these are the laws that you broke. You can look it up in a law book or on Google what the laws are and what the penalties are, and you'll have, you know, the penalties will find you. If you think you can get around those laws, then you have God's law. And I tell most people that's who I'm working for, and you don't want to fool around with the guy that I'm working for. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If you cheat me, you have to deal with the Lord. And I think that's the main point that I want to get, is that this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. Any exchange or any redemption or any whatever it is, the people that will pay out money know the people that are supposed to get money. They're already registered. If you do get involved and you do get through the process, it's a privilege. It's not a right. Most of the people think that they're entitled to large amounts of money. Most likely not going to happen. So that's what I'm hearing, what I've been through, and what I've seen. So stop here and take some questions.
Sure. Now, you've been talking predominantly about the bonds, and I know that's where on the other program that you were on, they deal predominantly with the bonds. And my focus has been on the currencies, and with the people that I work with, what they have told me on the currency exchanges, that's an entirely different issue. That is what you've been describing. But my understanding is it is these assets that are backing up the currency exchanges. Now, can you elaborate on that, how you understand that, to help us get a better picture of what's taking place there?
Well, if you've been in the United States the last 7 years, and I would assume most of the people on this call are familiar with commodities. Most of the people in the commodities business are usually 4 years ahead of the government as to what's going on. Before our current president took office, gold was around $300-$400. It's now, I think, $1,300, because they've been printing up money from $800 billion to $4 trillion that we know about, maybe even more. And so the gold value or the value of the dollar has to move proportional. This is what's known as fiat money. And my understanding is that part of the Paris Accord is, or Basel III, is asset, most of the, or all the currency will have to be asset backed, and with some asset, whatever it is, depending on the country. If they have whatever is growing in the mountains or oil or whatever they're producing, there has to be some asset backing the currency. So, you know, I don't know. I don't decide what the numbers are, but there are people that are buying currency real cheap and expect to make a gazillion dollars off of a couple of pieces of currency. Depends on who you go with or what the price is going to be. I don't control that. I have nothing to do with that. That's determined by all the sovereigns, not me.
Mm-hmm. So we hear so many of the reports on the currency issues of what's happening. You know, it's predominantly, you know, headquartered in Reno in the United States, and the different sovereigns and the different people and some of the different royal families that are involved in the currency exchanges. What can you tell us of what you know about that?
I was invited by a friend to go to Reno many years ago and to please bring my documents. They showed me the documents that the people in Reno were working off of, and I said, I know who the people are. I bought them lunch. And I think the expression is that they're a kilometer away from the deal, and they don't even know who's in charge. And we explained to certain people that they don't know what they're doing in a nice way. So a lot of the info. I have a friend that calls me up all the time and says, I saw this on the internet, and I says, well, you know, I don't know anything about what that is. It's not what I'm hearing. And I think I've been told 400 times that somebody got paid in Reno.
I've heard that too.
I think so, it's over. I'm not concerned about that. I'm only concerned about the stuff that I'm dealing with. I got sick a couple years ago, and I got sick again. I decided not to work 2 years ago, and early this year I decided things weren't going fast enough. I'd have to work again. I worked 18 hours a day for 57 days, and my kids kidnapped me and brought me to the emergency room, and I've been in facilities for a couple of months. So, and I talked to somebody else who's very high up, and he's had the same medical problems. I now have over 20 people downline that are actually doing my work. And every day we have to add more people. One person can't do it all. I guess my position is to have the position, and everybody else is downline. And some are more closer to me than others, but it takes a lot of people to tell people what it is. I've told them they have authority to use the estate, not to use my name. But it's out there. Most of the people think it's a bunch of baloney. People have died trying to bring up stuff off of private property, off of private land. They're trying to sell private property off of private land. They have died. They have pulled stuff out of the water that needs to be in the water, under the land title. The oceans inside the Philippines are private land. And stuff that's sitting on the bottom of the ocean are privately owned. There was a case in 1948 that the government sued the person with the salvage rights at the time, and the guy with the salvage rights won. It's a relatively famous, and he won a summary, and then he turned around and sold it back to the government. I think that went to the Supreme Court of the Philippines, or it was one of, you know, I got the case from the Supreme Court. I have copies of cases that went to the Supreme Court, and it was fascinating to read it. Part of that problem, the currency. I don't look at the numbers. If you have currency and somebody's going to pay you something for it, and it's more than you paid for it, the exchanges are done mainly to help out humanity and for humanitarian purposes. I don't come up with the numbers. I have other people that come up with the numbers, and we take a chunk and then tell you you have to pay 80% for humanitarian. And I know what people have paid for Zimbabwe, and I know what they think they're entitled to, and the difference is the difference between the sun and the 12th planet that hasn't been discovered yet.
I know some. I was stunned, and I don't even want to use the word stunned because it was just plain common sense. Where some people who think that some of these people on the internet are reporting are very reliable, and they're saying you're going to buy one of these 100 trillion Zimbabwe notes for $70, and there's no zeros going to be taken off, and it's going to be trading one for one. So yeah, so $70 is going to turn into $100 trillion. And I said, well, who's coming up with $100 trillion to give you that? You know, and that's the thing that just like that is so crazy out there. But yet there's so many people that are wanting to believe it. But yet on the other hand, there is some of this that is very, very real because of the people that we're working with and the bank accounts that are there. And it's a crazy web that's kind of interconnected. At least that's how I see it. There's crazy stories and a crazy web that's interconnected
in different ways. They know exactly what's going on. They know who everyone is. They know what you paid for it. And they'll give you something for humanitarian purposes.
Right. I think that's what I'm sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
No, the theory is if read Matthew 13:12.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 13:12. That's how I ended the last telephone conversation I was on. And that's somewhat the theory upon which this is based. If you help out the people, you have a chance of getting money. If you think it's all for you, you have very little chance of getting money.
Right. And I know that's what I've been expressing for months, is that it's about humanitarian aid first. First and foremost, it's about you being a conduit to move money through to help others. You will receive some for that process, but the focus has to be on the others first and foremost.
I've been told whatever I bring in through the estate, through the people that the estate is dealing with and has been dealing with for the last 30 years, I will be able to use the money for humanitarian purposes. They've known me since, like I said, most of them since 1970 through my wife. I actually met the people working, and I would go to the birthday parties down the street or a couple towns over in California. And so they've known who I am. I've known who the people are, but not specifically what they did. I'm familiar with the family. The family's familiar with them. We'd see them when I was in the Philippines. We'd be with them a lot and with their friends. And I'm not going to mention any names as to who they are. But
yeah,
the people in the process know who they're dealing with and have known for a long time. There are a lot of people out who pretend to be in a very high position, and they'll tell you that they have a certain position. Other than me, they will not go public if they're in the position. Most of the people that go public are not who they propose to be or don't have the position that they propose to be. I went public because I'm trying to save lives. I have a fiduciary responsibility. And even people who have the Marcos name, I believe they only had three children whose names are Marcos. We have dealt with other people whose names are Marcos who are not the three children of the former president or his wife, and most of them are not real. People in the Philippines will change their name to Marcos or their initials to fit whatever the commodity is, and they're very good at what they do. And they'll have fake commodity behind them. In the process, I've had a lot of people tell me they represent the famous family and or a famous family or a high-ranking person, and it eventually comes out that they have nothing. So that's the main reason why I came out, is to get people to stop stealing private property off of private land, to stop taking assets which can kill you out of the ocean, and stop trying to sell assets that doesn't belong to them. I believe all of the people in the Philippines are aware of the assets that are there and how to get to the people that are connected with the Rodriguez estate or FRN Exchange for Economic Development to get them properly taken care of. The humanitarian projects will happen if we get money. I got my position because I wasn't interested in the money. I did it to help out my wife. And my projects are healthcare and to do things that the government's not going to do for the people.
Okay. Well, Dr. Kohler, we had talked about earlier possibly, you know, letting some of the listeners ask some questions. And okay. Are we ready to go into that? Is this a good time to do that?
Sure. So
Blanca, why don't you go ahead and start screening some of the folks? But we do want to let you know, folks, that remember, Dr. Kohler's perspective, he's not here to talk about necessarily about the currencies because that's not his specialty. That is not where he puts his focus. So he's not going to be able to know a lot of those details about all of that. And that's how I understand it. Do you want to clarify that, Dr. Kohler?
Well, I have a degree in economics and anthropology, and it's interesting because where I'm at, there's another person who actually taught economics, and his view of the world is 180 degrees from mine. And I'd like to have a discussion sometime, you know, and it's interesting. He's older than I am, and he's part of the teachers union, and his views on politics are 180 degrees from mine also. And I hate to tell the guy that what he's trying to teach bankrupted the United States. I am familiar with the currencies. And the craziness that's going with the exchanges. I personally have nothing to do with figuring out the numbers. The estate does have assets in currency, so I'm familiar with the currencies. I was interested in stamp collecting and coins when I was a little kid. I did go to Europe, and I was amazed that I give them one green piece of paper, and they give me back 4 big pieces of silver and a couple of small pieces of some other commodity.
Okay. Well, let's go to our first caller. His name is Kirk. We're going to bring him on the air, and Kirk has some questions about the O-1-4 protocols. Kirk, you're on the air with Dr. Kohler. What can we help you with?
Hi, Dr. Kohler. Hi, David.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you a little bit. I've heard as related to the Rodriguez Trust that there's a thing called the O-1-4 protocol. Can you explain a little bit what that is and how it's relevant to this discussion?
You can look it up on the internet. It's there. The 01 is related to certain accounts that are related to the estate. The dash 4 Rodriguez, there are many interpretations. Read the ones on the internet that are probably close. 01 will be related to probably the Golden City. And the dash 4 protocol is related to the fourth relative of Queen Isabella II. That I believe was told to me.
Okay.
But the protocol is with the estate, and related to most of the stuff. Most of the assets in Asia, and a lot of the stuff is connected to the people in China or the banks in China.
And is that how the funds that are in the trust or the whatever asset are to be distributed or are to be compensated? Does it define things like that?
I can't give out that information. I did mention before that the asset and the funds are connected. They are connected to the Chinese, to a few other sovereigns, I'm told. I don't know what the exact answer is. I'm told there's other trusts that are putting the assets up. I know what assets we have, which is not for public consumption, and I can't give out that. I do know what is in the bunkers. It's audited. There are people that go in and check and make sure that whatever is there. The people that have other positions are familiar with what's there, what should be there, what was stolen, where it went. The people that are doing whatever it is that they're doing, and it's not me, that's not my position, know exactly who should have the asset, what it should look like, and they'll do whatever they have to do.
I understand. So as a follow-up, when you talked about the bond compensations, historic bond compensations, you spoke of it almost in terms that it hasn't really begun. When would you anticipate reasonable scale compensations to begin, or what is still to be done to begin to bring this money to humanity?
I have no idea. You want to know which one of the 400 times it's going to start?
I assume there are 89 items.
I have no idea when it's going to be done, if it's going to be done. There are things that have held it up, but there are greedy people that are stopping it. And there are very righteous people that want to get it done, but they have to do it the right way. And that is not my position. I can't tell you who those people are. Many of them I do not know. Some of them I do know. There's 209 sovereigns. There are certain international laws, which I'm not fully aware of, that have to be followed. And a lot of it was not signed off at the time that it was signed off and couldn't be done. There were flippers that were willing to pay you pennies on a dollar to get in. And in the 25 years that I've done this, many of the buyers turned out to be sellers later.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense. I guess I was more, because of the impact this is going to have, obviously the world is in great need of having some of these funds begin to roll down for humanitarian purposes. So it's obviously hopeful that this is not a distant future in terms of being able to have some of these assets.
I do not give out volumes, locations, travel plans, or specific dates.
I do understand. Let me ask a slightly different question.
You can go on Yahoo. They'll give you a certain date. and there are it's right on their homepage.
Excellent. I'll find the date that they have this. Dave Schmidt's involved with trying to through an organization he knows to that was likely to do private exchanges for some of the more exotic currencies, with a requirement to deliver those, you know, the vast majority of those funds for humanity. Is the Rodriguez Trust going to be part of the source of funds to enable that so that it can be released for humanity?
My position is that funds that eventually come in to the estate is for humanitarian purposes under certain rules. I don't have all the rules of humanitarian, but I've been offered humanitarian money on the assets that I'm bringing in. They've given me certain numbers, which I can't disclose.
Well, that's understandable.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, Dr. Kohler, thank you very much for your time. Thank you, Dave.
Okay.
Thank you, Kirk. Okay, great. Okay, let's go on to the next caller. His name is Art, and he has a specific question about a project, but we'll see if we can deal with that. But Art, you're on the air, and you're here with Dr. Kohler. What can we help you with? Hello.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Please, such a question. You mentioned that you finance only for humanitarian projects. We have an industrial project in mind. It takes about $3 million to develop samples and about $80 million to start a factory. So my question is, would it be considered any of these amounts as a humanitarian project?
You do your write-up and get it through. What assets are you trying to turn in to get the money for that project? If you have assets, if they get redeemed, if they're real, if there's a redemption if the people you're connected to will do it, you can say if you get that kind of money, you can do it yourself or turn it in to whoever's doing humanitarian projects. I'm obligated under my position to help out two third world countries. That's the Philippines and the United States. And I have my projects. There are certain projects that have priorities, and the people I'm working with have their own projects. If you have assets, then you've been given a privilege to help out humanity by spending your money on those projects.
Projects are a separate program from humanitarian assistance.
Projects are humanitarian programs. The projects that I have will be watched by compliance companies and make sure that every penny spent is the exact amount that has to be spent. We've met people that aren't interested in projects and...
Please let me know, who should I contact in Europe or United States for the project?
you have to go through people that do project funding or find people with assets that are looking for projects. The money, my understanding is money will be released against the project. So there's people looking for projects.
And when will it be?
I can't give out a date. I don't even know if it's going to happen. There are people trying to stop it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Art. Okay. All right, let's see. We're going to go to another caller, and his name is Kevin. Kevin, you're here on the air and with Dr. Kohler, and what can we help you with?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think Dr. Kohler might have answered part of my question with the last two callers, but I'm a little confused, probably like a lot of people. Obviously, I hold some currencies, and I have absolutely no problem giving a huge portion to humanitarian projects. I think most of us would agree on that. But ultimately, at the same time, we've got our needs as well. I think I speak for everybody on the call, probably. I thought I heard you make a comment, Dr. Kohler, that you kind of said something like, well, you might get paid or you might not. It depends on who you're going through, something to that extent. And
Can
you explain that a little more?
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that will tell you that they're an intake officer or they're part of XYZ Foundation and give you stuff to me, and they'll steal it from you.
Right. Well, obviously, the majority of us on this call are part of Dave's organization, so that's, I'm assuming, I guess I was just kind of wondering how does the average Joe out there know who's the right contact and who's the wrong contact, you know what I mean? That's why I was wondering.
I'm trying to help out.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, trying to tell you that if you think that you're going to own the Philippines at the end of this call or 5 days later, it ain't going to happen. Or you might not get paid. My understanding on some of the currencies is that they're not taking all the currencies. And if you get greedy, you're not going to get it.
Right. Yeah, and I understand that. And I think I speak for most people on the call. I mean, most people are more than happy to give, a huge portion or the majority, whatever you want to, percentage you want to name. But at the same time, we have our needs too, and we got, we're all under financial.
I fully understand all of it. Mm-hmm. My main reason for being here is to tell you that stop stealing stuff from the Philippines. If you think the Filipinos don't know what they're doing, they may be a lot smarter than you think.
Yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on the call, Dr. Kohler. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good night. Okay.
Great. Thank you, Kevin. All right. Okay. Let's see. I just want to – Blanca, is that everybody that we had that basically were looking at wanting to ask some questions? I think –
Yes,
I'm going to bring you back on
that's
here.
That's all I'm seeing.
Yeah, we had a lot of people raise their hands, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't want to ask any questions.
Right, because I guess it got answered in Dr. Kohler's presentation. I do have a question for Dr. Kohler. It's more probably philosophical or environmental, I would say. Because it's a very interesting opportunity and proposition that's being talked about. And Dr. Kohler, you're very intent, I can see, about the humanitarian aid. And I like your referring to the U.S. as a third world country. I think we need to start adjusting to that reality. But what's special about this particular time in your point of view? Or why are we even considering this type of an opportunity? I mean, I've been on the earth not probably as long as you, but long enough, and I don't recall something like this happening. I know they've talked about Kennedy trying to do something like this, and but in your point of view, why now? Why this particular time frame for this particular type of opportunity or happening?
I was sent the cartoon the other day, and I'm trying to stay apolitical, and the cartoon said, geez, wouldn't it be nice if somebody tried communism to see if it works? And what's happened is that communism failed, socialism failed, and capitalism didn't until it became socialistic.
Right.
And they want everybody to be equal and print out money, and everybody does what third world government does, and the people that are higher than I am are trying to help out the people and help out the world.
So enough is enough, it sounds like.
Pardon me?
Enough is enough.
Yeah. You said enough is enough. We've had enough of all the enough stuff, so it's time to get on with the good stuff.
Well, right. And if you do get paid whenever it is that it happens for whatever it is that you did, your family probably thinks you're crazy. Your friends probably think you don't know what the heck you're talking about. And you'll be quite privileged to help out people. And I've been privileged to be in a position to do that for the last 50 years, and the money doesn't mean anything. It's who you help out that counts.
That has been a very interesting experience to attempt to share this, or even this particular point of view, or that it's even possible. It's an amazing thing. Some people see it right away and are very energized and want to be part of it. And some people, like you said, think you're crazy or or worse. So it's quite an interesting scenario to be involved with all around. So what advice do you have for those of us who are lining up? We're already making plans, some of us, of course, to help family and friends because we know the needs are there, but also really examining where we want to make a great impact. There's a lot of opportunity to make a wonderful impact in the world. And so what advice do you have for us that are intent on making this a reality?
I think if you look at Matthew 13:12, it will help you. You can look at Timothy 4:3-4. That's in the Bible. Usually you get some good information from there. Lao Tzu, 2,500 years ago, wrote his book, Tao Te Ching, on Taoism, and basically said people that said, I'm sorry, politicians that said they care about people don't. So it's up to individuals that have the means to do it. It's up to us to give back to the people that can't do it. And those passages should help you to see what's going on in the world and help your actions in the future.
That's great advice. I had queued up the Matthew 13:12, the English Standard Version, for to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I haven't checked out Timothy 3 or 4, but since you shared Matthew 13:12 earlier, and I think there is a lot to ponder on many levels what's being said there.
And to those whose much is given, much is expected.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's been a stretch. It's been a stretch just even getting ready for this for all of us, I believe.
The people up on top have paid for it with their health. And, you know, some people that don't understand will never understand. But it's been a privilege to go through life the way I went through. We were asked, if you had your life to do all over again, what would you change? And I said, not a thing.
Wow.
And, you know, if you want to change the world, change yourself. So.
Well, that's been a message Dave's been sharing a lot on his show.
Very well stated. If you want to change the world, change yourself first. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So. Well, Dr. Kohler, yeah, wow, I want to thank you. I need to make a statement because I probably might have misstated some things in the video that I put out, is that it's a learning process for all of us, and I might have misunderstood the position of the Rodriguez Trust, and you did state earlier that when it comes to the currency exchanges that there are other funding sources as well, and I had probably misunderstood that the Rodriguez Trust was one of the primary ones, but you have really clarified that, I think, on the radio program here today, and that's very helpful for all of us. And also being willing to realize that the primary issue that you're looking on with the Rodriguez Trust is the side of the bonds, and I have been focusing more so on the currency issues, and that there are other funding sources where that is coming from as well. And that's not your position, and that's not something that you deal with, and I think that's what it's important for the people to understand that. So,
yeah, I exposed myself to try to protect people and try to get them to run their lives the proper way, and I've used Bible passage to help them. To get them to try to live their lives the right way and understand that if for any reason they do end up getting something done, to share it with people that don't have it, which is the only reason why I got into this position in the first place, because I wasn't interested in the money. And I don't look at the money. I look at the procedures and what we can do with it for humanitarian. I am familiar with the currencies and what's happening. Not all the currencies will be exchanged under contracts. There are private contracts, and if you want to sit around and get what it says on the internet, you'll probably have to wait another 20 years or so. Or who knows?
I think that's
what
I think you just touched on something. In the fact that they are private contracts. This is not a public exchange. It's not. I mean, that can come at a later point in time through other means and stuff like that. But the private contracts that are exchanging the currencies, all of them that I am aware of, is that it's, again, first and foremost about releasing money for humanitarian aid issues, but yet you do get some money out of that for yourself personally. But it's always about, but those aren't what you call millions of people being able to be involved in that. The private contracts are not that huge. I mean, as far as the number of people that are getting to be involved. And my understanding also is that there is a limited source of funds for all of that, but it's unfolding for all of us. We're learning it as we go along, and your information here has been very, very helpful. We do have another couple of callers that have called in and said they would still like to ask some questions, so let's go ahead and go to the next caller. We have there it is, now it's coming up. We have a lady by the name of Jay from area code 949. Jay, you're here on the air with Dr. Kohler, and what can we help you with?
I was wondering if Dr. Kohler can clarify a little bit about why, what forces, what factions, why would somebody want to not have this happen and what are their motivations. And I kind of want to hear it from his point of view, considering his position in all of this.
Certain people have certain positions of power and are not following God's law. And they would like to stay in their position of power and continue read Timothy 4:3 and 4. Timothy 4:3 and 4. They want to stay in power. And some of them don't care about the people, and they take the money for themselves. And if you help out people, you'll be helped out. You'll never know when you need the help that you helped out people. And I would look at the people in power and see what they're saying or see what they've done over the last 30, 40, 50, 100 years and see if the people have been helped out. And they may, are you from the United States? If you're from the United States, there's somebody that'll say anything and do anything to get money.
Jay, are you still there?
Is that 1 Timothy?
Oh.
Yeah, was that 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy?
It's Timothy 4, 3, and 4.
Yeah, is that 1st or 2nd Timothy?
I know that answer. Try them both. See, I don't think it's 3rd to that.
Okay, yeah, good. Well, Jay, anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay, all right, Kay. Bye-bye. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. It's a female by the name of Sam, and it looks like it's a fairly similar question. But, Sam, you're here on the air, and what can we help you with?
Hi. Yes, it is kind of a similar question. I was just, again, curious with Dr. Kohler why the people who don't want this to happen, how do they have such control? And you kind of answered that with their position of power and that they have the money and the power. And I was just wondering, what do you think is going to happen to them when this does occur? Because we are going to make this happen.
They may lose the power that they have. I think if you watch the television program, that are on in the United States, you can see one person going up and one going down as more information comes out. And,
yeah, that's for sure. That's true.
And there's a lot of information that isn't out yet.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I have no doubt about that. I just want to make sure that, you know, I don't know. This is just like really taking me over tonight, speaking with you and hearing from you, that we just got to make it happen this much harder to get those people out.
That's
and to help
what,
the people that need to be helped.
That's what the people are trying to do. And whatever, every little bit helps. If you help, whatever little bit of help you can do, that's what you do.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Sam. All right. Okay.
You're welcome.
We got one more caller here. We'll go to his name is MJ, and from area code 617, you are on the air. What can we help you with?
Hi there. I guess I want to tie in Matthew 13:12 and its many broad interpretations into my own personal experience, and then turn that into a question for some clarification. I think as far back as we can see in history, there has never been a level playing field. The deck has always been stacked against the people that did not have the money or they did not have the resources. In terms of Matthew 13:12, it appears as though people that have money are able to get access to things that will enable them to increase their money or increase their resources or increase their position, whereas people that do not have money are really kind of trying to push a wet rope uphill. And it's very hard for them to garner and gather the resources to improve their lot in life. So although there's never been a level playing field, and it's not really clear if everyone was able to deal on a level playing field, that they would make appropriate decisions, but at least we deserve the chance to try as a civilization. Who knows, but then, you know, a few decades later, we'd be back in the same sort of ratio that we're currently in. But at least we deserve the chance to try. My personal experience is that I've always wanted to see a world that worked for everyone, where no one and nothing was left out. But my own personal financial situation put me in a position where I borrowed a lot of money because I was operating from a survival instinct, and it never really helped. I found myself back in the same situation, and then when I began to understand more about who I really was and what I was capable of, and I didn't have to stress and I didn't have to worry, then I had a lot more peace in my life. Having said all that, I think what we were hoping to hear on the call tonight was that Dave Schmidt is facilitating something that is going to allow all of us to take the currency that we have, and a portion of it would be used to probably give most of us more money than we've ever had, which would enable us to invest it wisely or whatever, but that the lion's share of it would be used to help humanity, resulting in kind of a level playing field, and hopefully that, you know, when people didn't have to geek out a living and survive and scratch and claw for their own existence, the resources and the creative talents that they would have will enable them to really make a contribution in the world, and then we would get to see what the world would look like when the have-nots had plenty. So would you kind of expound on that as you understand my question? Thank you.
I thought it was a statement instead of a question, but what you stated was what the government tried to do the last 7 years is to make everybody equal, and some people work 18 hours a day, some people go to school till they're 35, and you can't make everybody equal. It doesn't work. History has shown it doesn't work. But if you work hard and study hard and read the proper books for you, you might want to read Alpha Strategy, which is changing yourself or change what you're doing. It may help you get to where you are. If you've invested in certain currencies, you may make some money off the currency. You may not make $1 trillion or whatever it is, but you may do well. Go to the bookstore and read and change something. See what happens. It's not going to happen right away. It takes a time. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I worked 18 hours a day. And before I started, I was working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's why I got sick. That's why I have other people helping me out. I'm not here to interpret the Bible. That's not what I do. I'm happy to give out certain passages which I think help me and help explain why certain things don't work. And Matthew 13:12 says that, from my understanding, is if you live your life a certain way, you can continue doing well. And if you don't live your life a certain way, you may lose what you have. And I liked it because it was just the opposite of what some politicians said that the Bible says. So I give you the passage. You interpret it any way you want. We can
right,
go on
so
the
question
next.
Was actually...
I didn't know
the
what
question
the question
was. Are you in a position to support our premise that a private currency exchange that Dave Schmidt has publicly said he's going to be able to facilitate has the backing from your point of view for us
I don't have information to comment on that question.
Okay, well that's clear. I think that was unclear for me and not maybe for others, so I thank you for that.
Yeah, MJ, I think also it's important, it's what he had said earlier, there are different funding sources, and that was the clarification I was trying to bring on and mention just mm-hmm. before you had come on, that might have been mm-hmm. a misunderstanding on my part, but there are different funding sources, and this trust is just one of those. But what I wanted to do was give Dr. Kohler, you know, the opportunity to come on the air and to talk about, and that just to know that this stuff is very real. There's a book that some people may, and this is only a small part of it. It's not, the trust is not totally in it, but there's a book out there called Gold Warriors, and it's called The History of the Yamashita's Gold, going back into World War II and prior to that. And a lot of the gold that was in the Philippines and how different people were trying to gain control of it and stuff like that. But the real issue is to want to communicate the message that there are these very real assets that are out there. And this isn't just somebody talking about stuff, but there's different sources, different funds, and some of them have different limitations upon them than others. And Dr. Kohler is the, you know, as I said, the asset administrator of that Rodriguez Trust, which is one of those sources. And it goes all the way back into the late 1800s, and it's one of the more historical ones that a lot of people are, that if you do your research, you can find out about it. And I think that probably helps clarify some of that.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the book, and most of the stuff in most of the stuff that I'm aware of that's in the Philippines is private property on private land.
Right.
And
yes.
If you want to live your life to try to steal it, the odds are that you're probably not going to get it. For this time that I've been spending there, there's a lot of people that have been wasting a lot of time and money trying to do it.
And I think, Dr. Kohler, you really touched on the issue. It's because of those 01-4 protocols that most of these assets, the vast majority of them that are in the Philippines, are on private land, and therefore they are owned by the private people that own that, and the biggest part of that is the Rodriguez estate that owns most of that. And so, and in contrast to what a lot of the different stories of different people are saying.
Well, the other thing is there's a 1995 law, and I don't remember the specific section, but if you're trying to move certain assets, you got to have certain documents. If you don't have the documents,
yeah,
the government will seize it from you, and that's usually what happens. You have to follow the law, and if you're going to try to stick around the law, the odds are you're going to lose your money.
Sure. So, okay.
It's your time.
And that's
what I've seen over the last 25 years.
Right. Okay. MJ, anything else that you would like to, any other questions or comments?
Well, you just to clarify what you said, they're emitting funding sources, but it doesn't appear as though the Rodriguez Trust is going to be a funding source that would be somehow supporting what you're going to be representing or not.
I'm still learning about that. So,
okay.
And that door to me is still open, and I don't have all the final answers and questions and all that. But I just do know that the people that I had been working with on the currency exchanges, that they said that it was a part of it. Now, how that, and I think you've heard from Dr. Kohler also, he says that he doesn't get involved in the details of that from that point and beyond. So,
all right, I guess there's a part of the question
sense?
Would be, has just, yeah, Does Dr. Kohler, yeah. has Dr. Kohler heard anything in the wind relative to an imminent, you know, forthcoming of a significant change in the, you know, financial picture for us and others?
I touched on that before, stating that I've heard something's going to happen this weekend 400 times. It couldn't. You might want to check on the Paris Accord, which is related to this. I have no idea when anything's going to happen, if it's going to happen. And I'm not in a position to give out any dates or times, or I have no idea who you're trying to do this with.
Okay, that's it for me, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, I can tell you a lot of dates are on Yahoo, which is publicly, you know, you can get on Yahoo, and they have information. It's on their webpage right on the front. The information I've got to it. They do give a date, which is interesting. It's not me, but it's out there publicly, and it has. I have absolutely no control over what's going on, or the date, or whatever. I'm just trying to maintain the assets that belong to the estate, and trying to help out a lot of people from wasting their time and money, trying to negotiate with people in the Philippines that don't have any attachment to any of the assets.
Okay. Well, Dr. Kohler, that was all of the callers that we have. I know it's not, we don't have to use up the whole 2 hours of the program. We have just a little over 20 minutes left, but is there anything else that you want to share with us? I think what you've done has given us some great information. We've been able to, it's been very helpful to know that we're, again, that this is a real trust that has real issues behind it, a real history behind it. And again, to clarify to the people that there's a lot of this stuff, that there's a lot of rumors and lies that people spread out there, but this is giving more clarification that this stuff is very real. And it comes from different sources, but you are a very reliable and good part of one of those sources. And is there anything, I'm ready to wrap up the program unless there's anything else that you want to go on to and talk about.
Well, most of the stuff on the internet regarding this, probably 103% is probably false, but there may be a little truth in some of it, but the timing may be off. I don't know. I have a friend that calls me all the time, wants to know if we'll get paid on Thursday, and I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been saying for a long time that most of the stuff that comes out on all these, what we call these Dinar Guru blog sites, is deliberate disinformation. It has a small parts of truth into it, but most of it is disinformation. It's designed to be that way for a specific reason. And I think you've just kind of helped to verify that as well. So, good.
I have certain information I can't give out. And I can't give out dates and times and whatever, and I can't give out what
right.
we're doing. But I give out information. I'm just trying to protect the stuff in the Philippines. When I do get humanitarian money, it will start off, what I get will go to help out, like I said, the two third world countries that already mentioned. We are dealing with people worldwide, and that's where the humanitarian money will go based on whatever assets they brought in.
Sure. Well, I think we're getting ready then here to wrap up. Okay. I think we're getting ready here to wrap up the program. Blanca, is there anything that you would like to add here tonight?
Well, of course, a big thank you to Dr. Kohler, who spent a lot of time with us clarifying many points. And also when he mentioned the many years that he worked and even had some impact on his health, and that there's a lot of people involved in this, I know sometimes we can get real focused on, you know, what's going to happen when and how does it impact me, but perhaps we should all step back and really consider the many, many players who've had a hand and are devoting energy and have devoted energy to even making it come this far. And so perhaps there's room in our hearts to really hold a lot of appreciation for that and to hold it for what is to come. So perhaps we should have a bigger vision about this besides just what the impact is on it for us. And that's all I have to add.
I just wanted to add one thing. I'm told this is World Appreciation Day, so on behalf of your program, I want to thank all of the people that have helped me in any way that they can and for their friendship and help.
Yes,
and,
I forgot all about that. It is that, World Appreciation Day, and we always want to say that we're thankful. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So the people that are on this phone call, pay it forward, and you can do it tomorrow also.
Yeah.
Appreciate what you have. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you very, very much for joining us. It was our pleasure to have you on the program, also to help you, to express your message of what is important to you with in conjunction with the Rodriguez Trust. This is a learning curve for all of us. We continue to learn more as we go along, and we know at the very core of all of this is our desire to help fix and heal this world through various humanitarian aid projects and things like that. So on a personal note, Dr. Cole, I just want to say that Jason and I, we will call you in about 5 to 10 minutes because we wanted to talk, you know, off the air on some other issues. And we'll get back to you in about 10 minutes after we're done here. So, okay.
Okay, fine.
Well, Blanca, any last comments? Okay. Yeah. Any last comments, Blanca?
No, I think it's wonderful that it's World Appreciation Day. And what a great way to underline that. So perhaps that's how we can all leave this call.
Yes. Well, I want to thank everybody there for joining us here tonight on the Sedona Connection. And I should say, well, tonight, because it's tonight in the United States. But let me see, it's about 9:45 for me where I am here in Thailand right now. And it's always a pleasure to have everybody here on you. We want to thank you for joining us. And we will see you next week on the Sedona Connection. Thank you very much.